Your name. I've forgotten your name. I've seen you, but I don't know your name.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
We have business to discuss.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station.
Give me a beat!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Hour number two of the show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Way back Wednesday, songs pre-2008 by nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which were announced recently. Barry had hour number one. I have hour number two. Nick has hour number three. Nasty.
Did you see this whole thing in Cleveland with the in the bullpen with Osuna? There was a heckler, and apparently he went after Osuna and started chanting mean things at him. At one point saying, "Do you remember baseball before you committed domestic violence?" Osuna, I don't believe, was responding, but at one point, Ryan Pressly stepped in.
Yeah, Osuna handled it all professionally and did not respond.
Didn't say a word, but Pressly steps in and says, basically, stop, stop, stop. I don't care what you say. You can talk all the bleep you want. Just don't bring that stuff up. The heckler argued that Osuna should be able to handle trash talk because he's a pro, to which Pressly responded, he's trying to be a professional, but you're coming over as a dickhead, dude. And so it was like they finally said that he told the heckler, you're bleeping soft. And that was, of course, the 11-3 game. So last laugh is the last laugh. But I'm surprised that this hasn't happened sooner. And if you think it's bad in Cleveland, guess what's going to be like in Boston or New York? It's going to be 50 times worse. But he handled it like a professional. He did not respond. Good for him. But it was also kind of cool to see Pressly come to his defense. My first thought was, isn't it funny? Because when he first came to the Astros, we were worried about chemistry in the clubhouse. We were worried about how he would be accepted by his team. If you've got guys going out and defending him against fans, he's accepted. I think he's ingratiated himself with that team. That's what it says to me.
I'm with you. Look, I mean, the bottom line is the guy has been an exemplary teammate since he got here. We don't know anything that happened in the past. We don't know anything about any of the details and why Major League Baseball suspended him for what they did. We know that he is, you know, we highlighted everything that happened in the court case in Canada. We know he's whatever their version of on probation, a peace bond. But he's been the best closer that the team has seen for the season. So on the field and as a teammate, he's lived up to what he is supposed to do. And that's all you can judge him on, in my opinion, unless we knew the details. Yeah. But yeah, I thought this would happen a lot sooner. And I thought at the end of the year in Boston, he would catch hell. I thought that there's some cities on the schedule that I looked at and went, I even thought when he went back to Toronto.
Which he did. They booed him.
Yeah, they booed him a little bit. I thought he'd catch a lot worse.
Well, we don't know. I mean, this happened to come out on TMZ, so maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I'm sure since it's happened.
Boston or New York, which would have been worse for him?
I'd say
Boston.
I think so too.
I think it depends on where the bullpens are, and I don't recall exactly. Like, if he were a visiting player coming to Minute Maid, you know that Minute Maid, the visitor's bullpen is underneath that terrace where they have the Conoco pump and all that.
But it's enclosed, yeah.
Yeah, but that's underneath. So there's no fans around there.
Right.
They can only get you as, you know, kind of as a drive-by shouting as you run out on the field. But
Joel's asking in terms of people, like if it was located in the same area,
they're equal in their a-hole ability.
Okay,
they're both equal, and Chicago too, and Detroit.
Boston's worse because they get the racist card. Because I've had friends of different ethnicities and several of my African American friends too.
Okay, Trump
that have said no.
There goes my African American
they
friend.
Went. My black friends have been to Boston to a game at Fenway and said everything that they heard about how it is, it was worse.
Not to spoil it, but I'm actually, you guys know I did the Cleveland versus Houston video, and I'm doing one for Boston, and that may or may not be in there.
Yeah.
The fact that it's one of the most racist cities in America.
Yep.
That may or may not be brought up. Definitely being brought up. But it may or may not be.
So that's something that I'm well aware of as well. And that's why I think Boston would be worse than New York. New York's just going to come at you. But I think Boston's going to come at you with a little extra ammunition.
So as you can see, I wanted to see. This is Max Scherzer on YouTube in the Red Sox bullpen at Fenway Park. You're telling me that when Osuna's warming up in the ninth inning that he's not going to hear it from those cats?
Yeah, because
like it's closer than we are to Nick.
It is completely exposed. Right,
it's
I knew it was in right
bad.
Field and exposed, but I thought that it was the Red Sox and the visiting team. The fact that that video that Barry just showed me, it is you are they are right on top.
They I mean, they could drop their beer into your under the seats.
You remember the videos of a lot of Red Sox players and other players making great catches in right field at Fenway, and they go over the short fence.
Yep.
Well, that short fence is the bullpen.
Yeah.
Can you throw a baseball with AirPods in your ears? Maybe he needs to invest in a pair of those.
Right.
Did I tell you that,
some
by
of those
the way?
Foam things I take on the road with me that you put in to get silence.
Weirdest thing ever. Guy started showing up to play hoops with us. Pretty good player, too. The last couple weekends. Plays with two earbuds in his ear, both ears. We're like, you expecting an important call while we're playing? I mean, that's completely whacked out weird. And he was like, no, bro. And literally, there was a portion of the game or two where he said something, and we all turn around like, what? And he's like, oh, no, bro, I'm on the phone. We're like, while you're playing, what are you doing?
That's crazy.
That's not just multitasking. That's weird.
Yeah, I don't want you on this field or on this court.
Yeah, no. It was very strange.
By the way, TMZ, good on you. I was looking at the
Osuna. I saw that, and I had to be careful because Lisa came home from work. But when I saw that, I was like, oh, hello.
So I'm on TMZ looking at the Osuna article, and to the right is a photo gallery article of two chicks I've never heard of on Venice Beach. One's name is Kristen Hancher? H-A-N-C-H-E-R?
It doesn't matter how you pronounce it.
No. And Hannah Giraldo. And they are top-notch.
Completely. Like, this is like a real-life Baywatch shot.
Yeah, K-R-I-S-T-E-N-H-A-N-C-H-E-R. Google that. Or, hell, just go to TMZ and look for the Osuna article, and it'll be over there on the right on the photo galleries. But those are...
Well done.
She's a daughter of a singer.
They look very smart. Those are some
There's
smart,
two of them.
Smart Pat's women.
Here. See, I don't never. Their, yeah, I don't care who their parents are, but they did
they
well in the reproducing category.
Very intelligent. Very smart ladies. I hope they have a wonderful, happy life.
Not that you'd like to
help
them live a happy life.
No, I'm married. I can't, no way.
That's right. Mm-mm.
Oh, well, Pat Benatar, hit me with your best shot. I know this lady.
What about her?
Hit me with your best shot. You know that song?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that was her.
Really?
What about her?
That's the daughter.
Are Which you one? Kidding me?
Yeah, that's
Giraldo
Hannah,
or the
Hannah,
other one?
Hannah Giraldo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's her
Is
mom.
Is Pat Benatar's daughter?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. She got hit with definitely the best shot in terms of the reproductive possibilities. Wow.
Your Google skills suck, Barry. When it comes down to Googling Instagram models, you're just not at my level. That's basically
married.
What I'm saying.
That's true.
You're married.
That's true.
Which means you should have better skills.
Yeah, I don't know if that
you should be able to get away with it better when you're married. Yeah.
No.
You should be better than me at this.
Because you know what will happen? Just the same thing that happened in the meeting today is I'll be on my phone. Like, we had the baby shower this weekend, and we're all just hanging out. And, you know, I'm sitting on the couch, and there's people behind me talking, and I'm just minding my own business on my phone. And I pull up Instagram, and I'm going, and then all of a sudden, just half-naked woman.
Oh.
And I was like, I put the phone up, forgot following her on Instagram. Wow, that's embarrassing right there. And her mom's behind me. I'm just like, oh, my God, this is terrible. So, yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah, I was in the meeting, and I pulled up my Instagram. And like, the first picture that pops up is like a half-naked picture of UFC Octagon, Ariane Celeste. And he's like, whoa, who's that? Who's that?
Because
like,
he said something, and he was like, no, I'll show. And I was like, I don't care about that. I want to see the chick. I don't remember what you were going to show me on your phone. I was like, yeah, that's not important. Who was the hot chick you're peeping in the middle of a meeting, you weirdo?
Yeah, I was trying to show you. I was trying to show you the text from Robert Flores because we're trying to grab him. Remember?
Because Roflo, which we got to get to.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to get to. By the way, speaking of all that in Instagram models, Barry. Did one of you guys bring up Summer Rae?
Oh, yeah.
At some point?
Barry.
I hit y'all to Summer Rae.
Let me hip y'all to what's going on with Summer Rae.
She's very smart. Okay? Very smart.
Let me throw the name at
Super
you.
Super smart.
Jordan Poyer.
Okay.
No clue, right,
no.
Nick? No clue. One of the top 10 best safeties in the game in the NFL last year.
Okay.
Okay. Better than that, the man's achievements off the field are outstanding. As the story goes, his wife is goes by the name of Rachel Bush.
Okay.
Rachel Bush.
Any relations to the Bush family here in Texas?
I don't think so, but she is a very smart woman, as you said.
She looks like Barbara?
Does that look like Barbara?
I don't know. But turn around some more.
Hold on. Let me piece this together for you.
What the hell are you doing here?
I'm going to show you a better picture because there's both of them there.
How big is your font?
Something happened with I got to change it back. Why do you got to go sell me out like that? So anyway, Rachel Bush is Jordan. This is Jordan Poyer, safety for the Bills. Okay.
Okay.
This is.
Oh, my God.
Rachel Bush.
Her brains are huge. She's so smart.
Okay. Rachel Bush is now married to Jordan Poyer. Okay.
Okay.
But let me bring your girl into the picture.
Because
his side piece.
Is Summer Rae?
Is Summer Rae.
Wow. That dude is killing the game.
So this dude's accomplishments, I don't care what his resume says, they are amazing. Okay?
Yeah.
So as the story goes, he dabbled with Summer Rae and then married Rachel Bush.
Oh, boy.
To which Rachel Bush somehow got wind of the fact that they dabbled and decided to go at Summer Rae.
Oh, man.
Basically threatened to kill her if she ever sees her in person.
It's kind of cool when smart girls fight.
I'm just going to tell you this.
It's a big turn on for me.
None of the messages that were exchanged matter.
Yeah.
None of Mr. Poyer's athleticism matters. This dude should be in some kind of Hall of Fame, and it doesn't matter what they text. Just make sure you get the pictures.
It's obvious that he likes an intelligent woman.
They went back and forth at each other. And like I said, Mrs. Poyer, but Miss Bush decided to tell Summer Rae that if she ever saw her in person, she would kill her.
Oh, well, that's a bit aggressive. Who is this, by the way?
This is the Zombies. You know the song. Best pull I could get out of some of the crap that was nominated for the Hall of Fame.
I was going to read this text that says JB is killing it on Way Back Wednesday, but there goes that.
So I'm gonna tweet this out.
Okay.
But yeah.
Oh, the pictures.
Yeah.
All
you really need to do. Don't worry about the battle between Rachel Bush and Summer Rae. Just worry about the pictures, and you're welcome because you now have two phenomenal follows on whatever your social media of choice is.
Yeah.
Just letting you know. So at Pac-Man Joel, I just tweeted out this whole battle that's brewing between Jordan Poyer, the safety of the Bills' wife, and his side piece. And by the way, the Texans play the Bills, so I've tied it all back Houston sports scene.
If he was smooth, he would go, what's his name? Clippers, former Rocket.
Oh, Lou Williams.
Yeah, he'd go Lou Williams style and just get them to get along and just really kill the game.
If he went Lou Williams style, there's not a man on the planet, I don't think, that could say that they can raise the bar any further.
Because
his bar is raised.
Yeah.
It better be.
Mine is, too.
Well, there you go. And on that note, why don't we transition into some sports? Hey, you guys know that the preseason is wrapping up and the Houston Rockets are about to tip it off for real. And launch week is coming here in Houston, Texas. So with that in mind, want to encourage you to go to Rockets.com and check out all the details of what is going on in the upcoming 7 days leading up to the season opener in L.A. on the road. That means Rockets Fan Fest, which is Sunday, October the 14th. That'll feature RPD, Clutch, Mario Ellie, Cheryl Swoops, live music, giveaways, and a whole bunch more. They're going to have a Toyota drive-up car decal giveaway. You just drive up to the Toyota Center, and you get a decal for your car to back the Rockets. The team shop is opening up on Tuesday. They're going to try and get to a player autograph session involved in that from 11 to 5. The opening night of the home opener against the Pelicans and, of course, the Unibrow, that will be coming up as well. So lots going on, lots for you to check out. And the main thing you need to do so that you're you're in tune with everything going on, just get to Rockets.com. There's going to be a viewing party for that Lakers game that I was talking about coming up next weekend with a Papa Shot contest and a whole bunch more where you can win some prizes. But the fact of the matter is, with so much going on, the best place to keep in tune with everything with your Houston Rockets, including tickets and how you can get them, check out Rockets.com and make sure you get ready for launch week, which is coming up next week for your Rockets.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling on hour number two of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel, all present and accounted for in studio. The Wayback Wednesday theme, pre-2008 songs by artists nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, with the list just recently coming out. We put together our list as such. If you missed the fact that we basically went down the entire list, which was some that we had no clue about.
Sherilyn Beaumont just said, just now catching up on Wayback Wednesday, "The Zombies, that's my jam."
You're welcome,
there
Cheryl.
There you go.
And you and your friends in Beaumont all should vote for Joel. with that being said, we'll continue to roll on. If you missed any portion of that list of nominees and or the lists are on Twitter and on the website, ESPN975.com. And you can also go back on the podcast and catch all the backstory you missed.
A couple of texts to catch up on. This is Demetrius. Barry, did you ever get around to watching The Shawshank Redemption? You know what? I still have not.
Great movie.
Yeah, I know I need to watch it. I still have not, Demetrius. I've let you down. I have failed you, my friend, and I apologize. But I need to get to it, for sure.
Make it a double feature. Get The Usual Suspects. And the
I've already watched that one.
I know, just watch it again. Oh. And The Shawshank Redemption.
Can Barry give me a woo?
Why?
Woo. Is that what you wanted?
Woo. I'm pretty sure not at that volume, but I'm pretty sure none of us want you to do it.
I mean, I'm sure for the Astros win. Maybe I should bring back the woo of the day on the Blitz.
How mad? Yelled at again.
How mad would they be?
Maybe you should bring earmuffs too, because you're going to hear it.
The day. What are the chances the Texans go after offensive tackle Flowers? Several people have asked about this. We talked about it a couple days ago when it first came up. I tend to agree with Joel when he said, you know, okay, bring him in. At first, I was like, yeah, I get. I mean, my thought is you already have a bunch of dudes like Flowers on this team. That's why you're in the position that you're in. Joel said it doesn't hurt to work them out. I agree with that. You're probably right. It doesn't hurt to work them out. But adding him, you're just basically adding another Julian Davenport. That's to me. That's
I think he's
the kind
got a little bit more
is.
Experience, though. He hasn't obviously panned out.
But I don't care about experience. I care about skill.
I'm saying then the guys you have currently playing at their positions.
But experience doesn't mean anything. If you suck, you could be a terrible, you could be a crappy offensive lineman and been around for 4 years because there's so few good offensive lines in the NFL right now.
And I agree with that. I'm just saying, you know what? Sometimes, like we talked about with defensive players too as well, sometimes the scheme just isn't right and it doesn't fit them. But like I said, you don't have to sign him before you bring him in. If he's willing to come in and work out, you can see him and judge his talent versus the talent you already got on the roster. Because right now they need help. And the other thing is they're continuing to lose players across the board too. You see Kayvon Webster played two plays in the Cowboy game, and now he's on IR.
Man.
So the secondary takes another hit.
Yep.
So Johnson's already on IR. Kayvon Webster's on IR. I mean, they got to be looking all over the waiver wire and otherwise for defensive backs.
Yep. It's that time of year where injuries start piling up on a lot of teams. I mean, we talked yesterday about the fact that their in-division rival, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the injuries are piling up on them as well. So,
well, the other thing I don't understand either, right, because we brought this up at the time, Breshawn Breeland was a starter for the Redskins. He was signed to a big-money free agent deal by the Carolina Panthers, but then he did his physical and he had a problem with his foot, and they reneged on the deal and he walked away. He was still out there. Green Bay signed him, and Green Bay doesn't have the secondary woes and needs that the Texans have. Why didn't the Texans have the radar on to know all those veteran players that were that they could have had access to get a guy like that in? Because he'd have been a perfect fit here.
The only thing I could think is that they have plans for money next year. Now, maybe he – what kind of contract did he get from the Packers?
1 year.
1 year deal?
1 year deal. So, again –
just for the remainder of this year?
Yeah, so there's no long-term commitment.
Yeah, it's a good question.
That's surprising to me. That's a worry that concerns me. That the fact that their personnel department didn't have that on their radar, have a list of guys on their radar that they could call in an instant in a pinch when they needed somebody.
So a couple of folks have brought this up, and I think we need to address it. In fact, several people, because we've talked about him on this show before, and I wouldn't say he's a friend of the show because he never came on, but we've talked about Isaiah Carey quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
And it was posted on the Chronicle that Isaiah was arrested for driving while intoxicated. I think this went down last night. Was that correct?
I don't know the exact date, but it was very recently.
So the article was posted today, October 10th. But it basically says that, it says Carey, who's the host of the Isaiah Factor, this is from cron.com, was driving a black Mercedes, westbound on Woodlands Parkway around 4 a.m. Somebody called and reported, a drunk driver, and then a Montgomery County deputy saw the car, pulled him over. It says that, the deputy identified the driver as Isaiah Carey Arbuckle.
I'm sorry?
That is the big takeaway from this. I had no idea that his name wasn't Isaiah Carey. So it's Isaiah Carey Arbuckle. But he did come out with a statement. So he was arrested and jailed on DWI charges, Class B misdemeanor on a first offense. He apologized. He said this on his Facebook. I offer my deepest apologies to Fox 26, my family, and the community for this incident. I know that consuming any alcohol and driving is a poor decision. The situation does not reflect my values or my commitment to the city. I've called home for 20 years. No matter what the outcome, I am fully committed to working tirelessly to restore the confidence of and faith this community has placed on me. Man, I was rooting for him, too. I don't think this is a career ender, but it's one of those things where, damn.
It's a tough call for 26.
Yeah. But he's already been kind of keeping it edgy, and I think they like Isaiah, though, man. I hope they do,
but at the same time, when something like this happens because of the public image of not that he and not just what he does for the station, but the station as a whole, this is reflective on what they do and how they treat this is going to be watched and scrutinized pretty carefully. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes down.
Well, you would know better than me. I mean, obviously. Yep. That sucks. I don't know.
But like they said, I mean, if you're out driving Woodlands Parkway at 4 a.m., first of all, there ain't a whole lot of traffic. And if there is...
You got room to swerve.
There's going to be people that are going to have some concerns.
Yeah, especially some nosy-ass people in the Woodlands. Don't trust nobody that lives up there. Yeah, coming up next, Bob Perez, Crew Bob, as I like to call him, will be joining us. He is Derek Lewis's trainer, and we'll talk to him about Derek Lewis's the recently announced fight with Daniel Cormier, title fight. Derek finally, after all these years, getting a title shot against Daniel Cormier, November 3rd, Madison Square Garden, UFC 230. So we'll have him join us next on the show.
There you go. That to look forward to and a whole bunch more. The second half is right around the corner. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Take it, Nick. No, I won't do that to you. Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go on the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on a way back Wednesday. Packers just scored a touchdown, obviously, because that is Todd Rundgren, and that is the song that they play when they score. So that had to be on my list. Yes. Yes, Aaron Rodgers. Lambo leap your ass off. There you go. I don't want to work. I want
to bang. Terrible.
It is not terrible.
That's a horrible song.
And you would know more of his songs than just that, but you didn't take the time to look. All right, so Nick, Barry, Joel here on a Wednesday, and we have good things for you. And as we always like to do, when we have pertinent things in the sporting world that we can bring to you, we try and do our best to do just that. And with that being said, we have good things right now. Bob Perez is joining us on the phone. Cormier is the opponent for Derek Lewis. Just announced, was it last night?
Yeah, in fact, right when we went off the air, I saw Bob posted on his Facebook. Mentioned it, so we got to get it to the Blitz right away. But without further ado, Bob, man, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
What's up, guys? Thank you for having me. Barry, long time no see, brother. Dude, oh, no, my God.
No kidding. I was just thinking about that when I texted you last night. I was like, God, you know, when I sent you the text, I was like, we haven't talked in a while. It's been a really long time, in fact.
It's been a long time. And I was talking to Cody Owens about you. I mean, I was like, dude, Barry and I go back to high school, man.
Yeah.
It's just insane, dude. And then, of course, coming up, you know, together in the MMA community here, it's been kind of awesome for everybody.
I want to talk about that for a second. We're going to get to the fight. I want to talk about this last fight that Derek had and the fight coming up that he had, because that's obviously important. But I think the thing that might get missed in some of this is some of the accomplishments that you've had. You started off, I mean, I knew you when you were at 4 Ounce. You were a boxer in high school. Talk about what this ride has been like, because, you know, Derek was an opponent of your fighters coming up, which I don't think a lot of people know that, when he was with Coach Tony at Silverback. And
yeah, he fought Rakeem, man. Yeah. He fought Rakeem for legacy. Yeah, so it's crazy. Derek and I have been together about 5 years now, but, you know, well, I guess going back, coming up, you know, I've been in combative sports like my whole life. I was never an MMA guy or a good fighter. I did some amateur boxing, some kickboxing, and Muay Thai smokers, but I've never been, you know, quote unquote, a fighter. I kind of found my role by accident as a coach, and it just kind of happened, man. I think I read people well. I can communicate with them well, and I obviously understand, you know, all aspects of fighting, and it just kind of happened, and then just developed fighter after fighter after fighter. And man, it's just been an amazing, amazing ride, and I feel fortunate. But about 5 years ago, Derek and Tony, unfortunately, you know, they had a falling out. Derek hit me up, and, you know, kind of the rest is history. I've definitely, I think, been able to, Derek will never be a technical guy. He's never going to be a pretty fighter. So I just try to take his natural attributes, amplify them just a bit, you know, so build on his strengths and try to kind of minimize his weaknesses as much as I possibly can. But Derek, he's not a mixed martial artist. He's not a martial artist. Derek is a prize fighter. Derek fights to provide for his family. It's never going to be pretty. It's going to be a dog fight every time. But if he touches you, you're going to sleep.
Well, and a lot of people don't know this, because I remember back in 2010, 2011, when Legacy was getting its feet under it, and a lot of people don't know, this isn't your first UFC fighter. Daniel Pineda was a guy that fought in the UFC that you coached before, and I think that's kind of helped. But I did want to say kudos to you, man, because I saw you grind. I saw you coaching these local guys for so many years and getting better at your craft, and I think it's great that you're now at the mountaintop. You're at this level where you've got a guy fighting for a UFC title on the biggest stage in the world, man. And congratulations to you. And I know you've put in the hard work.
Man, thank you so much, man. I mean, I've cornered, honestly, man, probably close to 1,000 fights. You know, Pineda was definitely, you know, our first that, you know, we had from like day one. We got all the way there. And that was an incredible feat. And I've worked with about, I guess, around 16 or 17 UFC fighters. I think I've cornered over 40 UFCs, you know, by now. But, you know, getting to this level, you know, we're going to be picked to lose. We're supposed to lose, but I don't see that happening. And in my head, you know, we're going to win. But my point is, even getting to that level, Barry, is just a mind-blowing experience for me, man. It's just, it's a win-win for us.
Yeah. And now let's talk a little bit about Derek, because you mentioned it and you said, you know, he's not technical. How frustrating is that? Because I know you as a coach. I mean, you and I, you used to hold pads for me when I was fat and trying to get in shape and learning Muay Thai, and you taught me how to fight, and I love it. But how frustrating is that? Because you're a very technical coach, which is the complete opposite of what Derek Lewis is in the cage.
You know, I think that's one of – first of all, it was very frustrating. I just – you know, I know Derek as a person now, you know, not just as a fighter. So I know when he's going to break, you know, mentally. You know, I'm like, okay, this is too much information. He doesn't like it. He's not going to use it. Derek needs a jab, a cross, and a hook, you know, his uppercut. I don't like him kicking. You know, I really work on kicking with him. He has been wrestling, you know, a bit lately, but like – dude, I mean, it's not a pretty punch, you know, and I just accept it for what it is. It's just beautiful violence coming out of him. You know, it's a dog fight, like I said, man. And so it was frustrating. It's not that bad anymore. But yeah, man, of course, this is how you parry a punch. This is how you slip a punch. This is how you do it. No. Swinging and banging. That's what we do.
And they'll show you on the fights when you watch Derek Lewis fight, they'll cut to his corner and it'll be you. And sometimes it's Larry Crow or sometimes it's somebody else, but you're the main corner guy and you're giving him advice. How frustrating is it that he's listening to maybe 10% of what you're telling him? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, with a Gonzaga fight, he actually heard me, and we had actually drilled it. We knew that every time, you know, he was going to touch Gonzaga, Gonzaga was going to dip the head. So we're looking for his strong side uppercut. So uppercut, hook, cross, and that's exactly what he knocked him out with. And that is, you know, he actually said, you know, I heard Coach call for it, and dude, that was a that's mind blowing. You know, Derek. You know, sometimes he listens, sometimes he doesn't, but that's kind of all fighters, man, honestly. The one thing, excuse me, that I try to do with Derek, and if you listen to the fight before the third round, I try to motivate Derek. I try to give him as much technical instruction as I can, but I try to get in his head. And like I said in my post, you know, if my words can, you know, turn into actions, then I'm doing my job. And I do think I kind of lit a fire under him, just kind of him reminding him the sense of urgency. You know, man, we got to finish this fight. And I try to tell him how we did it, and that's pretty much what he did. But I didn't want him to do it with 11 seconds left. I thought I was going to die, man.
I can only imagine. And I'll be the first to admit, you know, Derek has all the punching power in the world. I don't think there's a harder hitter in the UFC and probably in combat sports than him. But
I agree 100%, dude. I've held for a lot of, like, high-level, you know, heavyweight boxers or Muay Thai guys, other high-level MMA guys. I have never ever seen anybody A, hit as hard as Derek, B, have the staying power that Derek has. It's very rare at any weight class that you'll see a fighter hit equally as hard, if not harder, in the last seconds of a fight as he does in the first round. And Derek absolutely has that. He has a granite chin, and man, he's just down to fight, man. That's the best way to say it.
How has he been able to get as far as he's gotten in the UFC? Because if we're being honest, he doesn't have any technical ground skills. He's strong. I mean, I saw him. I remember the fight against the Alaskan black belt here in Houston where he just lifted him. The black belt, I forget his name, Ricky something. But
Ricky Shivers,
full mount. I always tell the story. It was so impressive that Derek just basically picked him up off of him and threw him aside. And you don't do that to black belts when they have mount on you, but he's done that. But talk about how you navigate a fight where the guy that doesn't have really any wrestling or jiu-jitsu skills on the ground, he doesn't have a lot of technical striking or boxing or clinch work. What do you do with that? And as a coach, how are you helping him in those fights?
Well, you know, so obviously I do give him, you know, the technical instruction. And,
sure.
You know, if he's wrestling or doing some jiu-jitsu, he is learning things the proper way. But he doesn't drill. Derek doesn't spar, bro. He doesn't spar.
Man.
You know, so it's hard to build that muscle memory. And you've trained before without, you know, drilling. Drillers make killers. Drill, uh-huh. drill. So I remember with the Roy Nelson fight, getting to, like, the ground aspect. Roy had side control, and we had talked about this. Like, do not let that man get you in a crucifix because it's disgusting. You know, Roy finished a lot of people from there. So I remember Roy getting side mount, and I'm, you know, Derek, get your right elbow in, and I need you to bump and give me an underhook. And I said it twice, and he looks over at me, I swear to you, and he's like, I'm good. And then he just bench pressed Roy Nelson off of him. And I've never seen that happen. Gonzaga had his back, 3-time world champion jiu-jitsu, had his back. One of the, you know, most accomplished jiu-jitsu guys ever to fight in the UFC. Derek just shook him off, man. You know, you can't hold Derek down. You can take him down. You can't hold him down. So, you know, everything he does on the ground technically is incorrect. But he's beating the highest level guys doing it. And it blows my mind. I don't know how to answer your question. Like, I don't know how he does it. He's just a freak, man. And I mean that in the most complimentary way, you know, possible.
So tell me how this fight's going to go. First of all, before we do that, I want to ask you, because the first thing I thought of when AJ broke the news, we were kind of talking about it, but it seems so soon. I mean, November 3rd is just around the corner in regards to training. I mean, what's y'all's average camp? 6 weeks, 8 weeks before
it's
you train for
a
fight?
Generally, yeah. About 8 weeks.
This seems short.
Derek is in the gym more than an hour. He says he's in the gym more than an hour. He usually does 2-a-days. He's been getting wrestling in. Don't listen to everything he says. You know,
yeah.
But yeah, man. So, I'm sorry, man. I cut you off.
No, it's all good. But this is a short notice fight against one of the best heavyweights in the world, obviously, in Daniel Cormier. What is it between now and November 3rd that you're focused on? Is it getting out to BVMMA and working with those guys on wrestling, because they're kind of one of the wrestling camps in our area? What is y'all's focus for the next couple of weeks? Because you don't have much time left.
First and foremost, Derek's not going to learn how to out wrestle DC in 20 days. You know, he's, and this is the thing, you know, what DC is going to do. Well, we know this. But we're not worried about what DC is going to do. We are focused on what we need to do. And that's punch him in the face and knock him out. So obviously we're going to be working wrestling. We go to Bubba, you know, we were going twice a week. We're going to hit 4 or 5 times a week getting some wrestling in. I also have a coach coming from the Olympic Training Center that's going to be working with Derek. You know, we're going to try to simulate the fight as much as you can. But, I mean, to be quite honest with you, all we really need to do is obviously focus on his conditioning. But the only way to get true fighting conditioning or fight conditioning is to spar more, to roll more, to wrestle more. You know, you can do these supplemental things all you want. You can, I don't know, strength and conditioning or go run or all these things. Bottom line is, in order to prepare for a fight, as far as conditioning goes, that's what you have to do. Well, and nothing gets you more tired than wrestling.
Yeah. Now, the last question, and I wanted to talk about that, because he said he wasn't ready for a title fight because of his gas tank. I don't know that Derek's ever going to have great cardio just because of who he is, how he's built, and the way he trains. Is that a concern for you going into this? Because Cormier seems to have a gas tank that can go 5, 6, 7 rounds.
Well, this is the thing. Cormier's coming off of a broken hand. I don't think he's trained since he fought. I really don't. And this is kind of a last-minute fight. Derek can have one breath left in him, and he's going to knock you out. You know, so everybody talks about how bad his cardio is. Coach, you got to hit. No crap. I mean, like, I've been doing this a long time. I know this. You make Derek do it. Well, better yet, why don't you fight Derek and see how that works out for you? You know, you just have all these people giving me their advice. Dude, I've been doing this my whole life.
Yeah.
I know what he needs. But Derek is Derek. You know, so, and also his cardio is so bad. It's so bad. Look at him in between rounds. Compare that to a lot of other fighters, even fighters at lighter weights. So Derek says all of these things. He made a reference to his lower extremities after this fight. They weren't hot. He's putting on a show. You know, like Derek says these things, you know, so he's a funny guy, dude. You know, so don't take everything he says, you know, as gospel.
There you go.
So, you know, I don't like him saying I'm not ready for a title. I don't like him saying I'm not ready for 5 rounds. He absolutely deserves the title. He's 9 out of the last 10 with 88% finish rate.
Wow.
You know, against the best guys in the world. So he absolutely deserved the title shot. But Derek gets upset with his performances, and he gets emotional, and he says these things. So he wasn't happy with his fight. I wasn't happy with this fight. Obviously, I was happy with the outcome. But, of course, he's like, man, you know, so he's immediately kind of reevaluating things, and he says what he feels at that moment. That does not make it true.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, Bob. I know it was short notice, but I wanted to get this out there after it broke. So thank you for being here. We need to look at bringing you in for all the cards that y'all aren't on so you can help us break down these UFC fights. I think it would be a good time, man. But best of luck to you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, we need to catch up off air and just get a beer or something. But best of luck to you, man, and bring home that title November 3rd.
We'll do our best, man. Thank you guys so much.
Yes, sir. That's Crew Bob Perez. You can follow him. By the way, good follow on Instagram and Twitter. I think it's Crew Bob Perez on Instagram and Twitter. He does like techniques of the week, and he talks to the. Go out and check him out on Instagram and Twitter as well.
There you have it. There you have it. Good stuff from Bob and from Barry. We're going to continue with more. Don't go anywhere. This is hour number 2 of the 3-hour big show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Before we get into more fun and games and things, I do want to remind you to always think of Gallery Furniture when you're thinking about buying furniture for any room of your house. You know how Mattress Mac does it. He's a staple in the community. He loves the people of Houston. He's always there for you when you need him in a time of need. He also wants to be there for you every time you need furniture. 3 locations to better serve you. Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugar Land, the Galleria area, and the mainstay I-45 North. Exit Tidwell Parker both ways, which regardless of which of the 3 locations you choose, All the things they say in all their commercials is everything they're going to do for you, and there's no BS about it. That means that if you buy today, you get it within 3 to 4 hours of you paying for your furniture. They will be at your door delivering your furniture. You need stuff moved around and rearranged. You need stuff taken out of your house while they're there. They'll do that for you, too. No back order slips. You see it on the showroom floor. You buy it. You get it. You're not going to be waiting around for your furniture. The Astros promotion is going on again, and you know they're getting closer. You buy bedroom furniture, $3,000 or more, and at the end of the year, if the Astros win it all, and you know they're close, you get it all for free. That's the way they do it. He did it last year. He's doing it again this year. That's another great promotion. The fact of the matter is, Mac is a staple because he loves Houston. You guys should love going to Gallery Furniture. I do, and all my furniture is from Gallery. And I'm telling you right now, the main thing that Mac says is exactly why I go to Gallery Furniture. Gallery really will save you money. So with that being said, great interview again with Bob Barry. That was fantastic. Getting some good feedback on that on social media. And
love the honesty because he's so right. You know, like you get talking weirdos like me and Nick talking USC. Like, oh, Derek Lewis doesn't have any cardio. He doesn't have a technical ground game or wrestling. And he's like, yeah, we know. Like, you're not. All the talking heads around the country aren't saying anything that we don't know in this camp. I love the fact that he's like, you make him do it.
Yeah, when we first started talking about Derek Lewis, that was like the first thing you were trying to show me on all those cage door highlights when you had that library of all the legacy fights.
Yeah.
Or at the time, was it called? Like, yeah, it was the legacy fights.
Yeah.
And we were just both amazed at how he would throw black belt jiu-jitsu artists off of him when he's on his back like it was nothing. That is why we were so amazed by him initially, and then obviously he has that personality.
And the concern becomes, you can do that against a Ricky Shivers that no one's ever heard of or going to hear from because he's not that good of a fighter. I always feared once he gets to the UFC, his inability to do things on the ground technically, his inability to be a technical striker is going to catch up with him. It hasn't. This dude is the first or second best heavyweight in the world, and he's about to fight for a title. It just shows you sometimes what heart, determination, and strength can do to overcome all that other stuff. There's a saying in jiu-jitsu as it translates to MMA, everyone's a black belt till you punch them in the face.
Yep.
And then they become a white belt, and that's so true. And he's shown that in some of these fights. It's just amazing what this cat has done.
It's like when you talk about in different sports, someone that just has God-given ability, and it's just raw God-given ability. You can't teach it. You can't explain it. You can't train it. You can try and develop it even further.
Yep.
But the fact of the matter is, it's like when they call Gattis the caveman, and he does the bare hands and whatever like that, batting gloves and whatever. But he comes in, he's just got a God-given ability that he's had even after he had all the struggles he went through and everything like that. One thing we know he can do, he can come in, he can rake, he hits for power. But meeting Derek Lewis in person was awesome because he's so personable and he's such a good dude.
Great guy.
But then I love just his raw honesty in those post-game interviews, because when you listen to him post-fight, you love it. You're laughing with him. He just seems like he's just one of the guys. But he's an entertainer as well as a fighter, and that's what makes him something that everybody should want to hitch their wagon to.
It really is a great point because, I've sat and watched, I don't forget where it was. It was like at Lucky's Pub down there, Warehouse Live. Mm-hmm. But he and I were watching a UFC where Sean Jordan was fighting, and that was one of Derek's first losses with Sean Jordan. And we're just sitting there hanging out, and he's just talking mess about Sean Jordan and how he wants to fight him again. Then, of course, he fights him again and loses again. But it's he's just that kind of guy. He's funny. He's personable. But also a quiet guy. It's why it surprised me because when I would go backstage at a Legacy fight or an IXFA fight or some of the other promotions at WGC, which was a flash in the pan, but some of these promotions that he fought for coming up, he was the one guy that would just sit in the corner and you would never hear him. He wasn't boisterous. He didn't talk. He was that super quiet guy, but to see him on the national stage, it's outstanding, man.
And
I couldn't be happier for him, and I couldn't be happier for Bob.
He loves lawn care, too, because the last time we had him on, remember, he had to go home because he had to go cut his lawn.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Hey, speaking of that.
Oh, boy. Thank God, Nick, we only got a minute, because guess what he's about to go to?
Barry, I just bought my new house, yet there is a huge, huge dead spot of grass right in the middle.
Thank you.
Right in the middle of the back. Right in the middle. I hate you so much. You're just going to have to replace it with some fresh grass. Don't try to save it. Just cut
Nick,
that
if
area
it's Bermuda,
out.
Yeah. Bermulla, get it straight.
Bermulla.
St. September. Yeah, dude, just till that area out and put some, go buy a couple of squares of sod from Houston Garden Center and put it down. You'll be good.
You fixed the track marks in your yard?
Not yet. They're still sitting there. Dude, it's been raining the whole time.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Get a roller out.
It's been nice, though, to have this rain. Not even because of my water bill, just because I hadn't had to do any yard work.
Well, there you go.
That's been nice.
What else is nice is that you guys are along with us guys for the ride. Two in the books, one to go, 1 hour left of the big show. Much more coming along, including the sports mappers. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects.
ESPN 97.5.